it is that time again. And for me, it's almost quite a sad moment this week because it's the last time I'll be getting to chat to Wayne Massingham, at least last time on the Thursday Daily. You know, Wayne has been imparting his entertainment reviews onto the general public so well, and it's been such a pleasure to interact with him. So let's go out with a bang. Wayne Massingham, it's great to have you on.
Hi, Toby. Yes, it's a little bit sad. I remember...
Oh, it's not really. I make it sound like I'm dying or retiring, and I'm doing neither.
No, I'm glad to hear that. But no, it's been great chatting with you, and I guess all things, you know, things change and things move around, and I've had the pleasure of, you know, Willie and Steph and yourself and I think Sean and a few others, but it's all been great. But
you are the only constant, Wayne.
We'll chat again.
You are the only constant in that equation.
I am the only constant, yes.
The rest of us move around. You keep providing your entertainment reviews.
I know. I feel, you know, like I'm here. Where's everyone going?
Well, we're just all readjusting, and sometimes that's what we have to do. But look, Wayne, tell us, bring us home with this strong, you know, my brain just stopped working there for a minute. Get us into it. What is your first review for us today?
Okay. Well, first off is a great film that opened last week. A bit delayed, by like a lot of films, by COVID, but it finally arrived. That's Last Night in Soho, the new film from British director Edgar Wright. Most famous, Reason for Baby Driver, but a lot of comedies. He does all sorts of styles, and all his films are always very inventive, incredibly stylish, and this is no different. This stars Thomasin McKenzie and Anya Taylor-Joy, and they sort of, in a strange way, embody the same character in a way. Thomasin plays Eloise, who's a very young, aspiring fashion designer, very infatuated with the 60s, and she gets an opportunity to go to the London College of Fashion, but she really has trouble fitting in. She really is a 60s girl in the modern era. And then one night when she falls asleep, she goes in like a dream sequence, and she wakes up and she's back in the 60s, and she sort of inhabits another character called Sandy, which is played by Anya Taylor-Joy. And so it sort of becomes a story of her reality blurring between her real life and the 60s life. And then it gets darker and darker because the 60s life goes from being joyous and carefree to very dark and a bit of a horror thriller, which is also a bit of an Edgar Wright specialty. So they sort of, the two lives intertwine, the two characters intertwine, and it's really, really well done. I would say I think the first half is probably a bit stronger than the second half. I think it's sort of maybe doesn't quite maintain that momentum, but it's just a really, really fun, stylish film that I really enjoyed. And also we have some appearances from 60s icons Terrence Stamp and Diana Rigg in key roles. So this is just a really great film to see on a big screen.
I hated this movie, and that is all I'll say. I absolutely, it completely rubbed me the wrong way. I have a lot of people in my life who really enjoyed it. That's all I'll say. I really weighed up whether even to say that much, but not my cup of tea. But look, I'm sure this is the joy of going to see great art, isn't it? You know, that we can have divergent opinions, and that really, to the listeners, you got to go make up your own mind, and then you've got to say if you're team me or team Wayne.
I also think the music is great. That was one thing I love. It's more that 60s pop music. So it's Philip Black and the like, and Petula Clark rather than, you know, the Beatles and the Stones. But look, I will think it sort of goes off a little bit off in the second half. I don't think it quite pulls it off, but I think it sort of comes in with a big burst of energy, and that was enough for me.
And look, it's great to have these. It's great to not agree in this sense. We don't all want to go see the same thing and be like, "Wow, we all loved it all the time." Like, where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in that? Look, it didn't work for me, but Wayne, I respect your opinion, and I'm sure that our listeners will go out there and make up their own minds. And hey, if whatever they decide is theirs. The movies, how they experience the movie is for them. And it's great to have... Edgar Wright is a wonderful technical filmmaker, you know? Yeah. He is a wonderful technical filmmaker. Let's move... Let's not fight, Wayne. It's the last time we'll be talking. Let's not fight.
I will say it also confirms, I think, Thomasin McKenzie is a really great young actress. And I loved her in Leave No Trace. And I think... She is really going places. She has a certain something, and her character is very, very endearing. You do pull for her, even if you didn't get everything out of the film. I really loved her performance.
Oh yeah, and also great in Power of the Dog. Wayne.
Of course, yeah.
Very small role, but great in Power of the Dog as well. Wayne, give us number two. Let's get off Last Night in Soho.
That's all right. Well, this is one just finished recently, and this is, I think, one of the best TV series of the year, and that's Made on Netflix. This is really, really wonderful. 10 episodes in all. This is based on Stephanie Land's best-selling memoir, Made, Hard Work, Low Pay. She was a woman that basically struggled in a variety of jobs, trying to keep above the poverty line in the Pacific Northwest. I haven't read the book, but apparently it is a really great, revealing personal story, but also about how basically the system, if you're poor, can absolutely keep screwing you over and over. So in this series, Margaret Qualley is absolutely superb as Alex, who there's an added element to this story is that she is a survivor of domestic violence. She leaves her husband and takes a young girl. There's a custody battle. The only way to survive is she picks up a job as a maid. And the show is heartbreaking in a lot of scenes because every time you think she's just getting ahead, something happens that pulls her back down. She basically, at various points, sleeps in a ferry terminal, in a car. Her mother, her father, she doesn't have a great relationship with them. He's just really, really pulling for this character. But Margaret Qualley is just great in this. And interestingly, her real-life mother, Andy McDowell, plays her mother in the show. So this is really revealing. It is hard to watch at times just because it just feels so desperate. But I took it also the fact that it's also a testament to the human spirit that even if you just keep getting knocked down and treated badly, humans have a way of surviving. So this is, I think, just really well-made TV. And Margaret Qualley is great.
No, that sounds great. I'll definitely have to check that out. I'm a big Andy McDowell fan personally.
Yeah.
So it's great to see, her doing work and also that that she's passed on the talent, the knack to her daughter, which is wonderful to hear.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So that's all on Netflix, 10 episodes in all.
Fantastic.
It's not cheery viewing, but it's just so well made and as I said, can really break your heart at times, but keep going with it, I think.
Oh, gorgeous. No, definitely we'll add that to my list. Thanks, Wayne. Now, give us number three, Keep it rolling.
I'm going to keep it rolling. This is an album I don't think is getting a lot of publicity out there, and I'm not actually sure how to pronounce it, but I'll go with it. I think it's Pohorill, Pohorille, which is actually a Spanish word. And this is the debut album from an American, country singer called Margot Silker, C-I-L-K-E-R. She's traveled around the world quite a bit. And Pohorill, I think, is actually a Basque clothing company. So it's something maybe she's had in her experience. She maybe just liked the word. But this album is really wonderful. She's from the Pacific Northwest, from Oregon. And this is a true, I'd say, Americana album. I'm not a fan at all of real, I guess what you call glossy country music, the Nashville sound, but I love that more, that Americana sound, bluegrass, true country, and this fits into that bill. If I could reference a point, and this is a big, I would say compliment, is it reminds me of Gillian Welsh, and I think Gillian Welsh is the queen and king of modern country. And this has that similar sound. They're just really great stories, beautiful sounds, a lot of strings and guitars. It's that classic Americana sound. And she's a really great storyteller as Margot. The songs just seep into you. She had a really great, impressive voice. Just draws on her life experience. And for a debut album, I really, really was impressed by this.
No, look, the Gillian Welsh comparison is definitely something that will drive me to go and seek this album out 100%. Like, Gillian Welsh is so, and it's a very specific type of comparison to make that one, you know, like, so.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, vocally a little bit, but just also, I guess, the instrumentation and the storytelling and that sound, which I really love, as I said, rather than that sort of glossy Nashville sound, which she's not from that area. And interestingly, either with Gillian, even though she lives in Nashville, but she's originally from California. Gillian is the queen. So Margot can have half her career. It'll be great.
Well, fantastic. Well, hopefully this album, you know, gets more reach through segments like this, through airplay, through people seeking it out and finding it. So another a diamond in the rough, Wayne. Well spotted, well found. Now, number four, Wayne, what is the last property that you present to us?
Okay, this is the last one. Look, this is a new second season just recently of Love Life. HBO Max production, but it's all locally available on Stan. Might have seen the first season. It's basically like a 10-year story of someone basically trying to figure out their life and their love life, really. The first one was Anna Kendrick, and it was over, as I said, a 10-year period, basically ups and downs, different relationships, different stories. And the second season takes off with the William Jackson Harper plays Marcus, and he's sort of a distant acquaintance of the Anna Kendrick character. So it sort of just picks off from a party they went to, and then it goes into his story. And again, similarly, it's over many years, ups and downs. The central love of his life is Mia, and it keeps going back and forward. And it's just really, I guess, easy viewing. It's quite funny in parts. It's quite revealing, I guess, on relationships. I guess, if you're being honest, it can be frustrating in parts because the people keep making mistakes, but I guess the show really wouldn't work.
Like life, baby, you know.
Yes. It wouldn't work very well if the central characters just basically had 10 years of relationship bliss.
Not a lot of tension, hopefully, in that.
So it needs the drama of people stuffing up, doing the right thing, saying the wrong thing. And this is just really funny. 10 episodes in both seasons, half-hour episodes. So if you just want something that's not going to absolutely test you, but get some fun out of it, it's really good. And I will give a shout-out to a character in the second season who I hadn't really heard much of, but he goes by the name of Comedian CP, and he plays a friend of Marcus, and his scenes are hilarious. He's just got an incredible sense of humour. So it's worth it just to...
So his name's Comedian CP, if I got that right?
Comedian CP, yeah, I hadn't heard of him. I think he's Chris Powell, but his stage name is Comedian CP. That's a little bit odd, but...
it's making us sit up and take notes, so that's tough to battle with that sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's great as a best friend. He's all his lines are so well delivered and so well written that I was looking forward to seeing him pop in. And in the show, he's married and has kids. So he's like the balance to Marcus's ups and downs of trying to find the right person. And he's like, but he was always provides the right advice at the right time in a very funny way.
That sounds perfect. Wayne, thank you so much for another 4x2 Entertainment Reviews. And I'll hopefully catch you in some other form.
Yeah,
in some
hopefully other way. It's not the last time.
Thanks, Wayne.
See ya, bye.
That was Wayne Massingham's 4x2 Entertainment Reviews. Full archive is up on the 2SER website. Hey, what a pleasure to talk to Wayne. Even when we disagree, he brings these great reviews to us. It's public service, really.